Well, welcome to The Rock. I'm Bill. I'm one of the pastors, and we're going to have a special night tonight. If you're new with us, God bless you for coming. We're going to have a little bit of family time. You know, every January or so, beginning of every year, typically the President of the United States gives a State of the, State of the Union address. And we typically will do that, and Steele did a great job giving a great overview of some of the things that happened last year. When we kicked off the Acts series, the Simply So series, he did a fantastic job, but he also had to squeeze in a whole intro to the Acts series. So tonight, because of some new developments, which you're going to see hot off the press, we're going to share with you kind of the state of the church and kind of an exciting project that God's got us in. Because we really feel like a state of the church kind of puts us all on the same page. It communicates information that we can all use, that we all need. We're all in this together. And we're here to have an impact on the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, this week I was given, it was kind of surreal. I was sent by a friend of mine. He's actually in Decorah, Iowa. Now he led a church plant out there. He was one of my disciples back at Iowa State University 25 years ago. He sent me a video clip that he had found. He had actually videoed a whole service like this 25 years ago. I was leading the service. I was the college leader at that point, and we had our student group at Iowa State University, and nobody knew that he forgot that he had videoed it, but he found it, and he got it digitized, and he sent it to me, so I got to see this whole service 25 years ago, and it was so surreal to me, because he was, you know, panning the audience, and I see all the guys, my roommates, the guys I'm discipling, guys that are discipling me, I see my wife. This is how surreal it was, because it was filmed. I figured out it was filmed February 10th, 1989. And I knew that because by my announcements and the things that were happening, I was giving some dates. Just turns out that I was just 3 weeks away from proposing to my wife, and she had no idea that I even liked her. She didn't, literally. So I saw her, as it panned to her, I'm thinking, she has no idea. And I'm dying, and so I'm up on stage. I knew I was dying because I wanted to talk to her about how much I'd been in love with her for 18 months. That's exactly where it caught me. And within 6 months of that filming, I proposed to this woman. She said yes. We got married, and we moved to Colorado, and I never went back to Ames again. That's within a six-month period, all that happened. Quit graduate school and moved to Colorado to help start the Fort Collins Church or restart the Fort Collins Church with Mary. A week after we got married, we moved out on a church plant. And one of the things that caught me was that was almost exactly 25 years ago. And I see guys that are now pastors that were in the back row that, you know, just, and they're still running hard for the Lord, guys I was working with. And I think, you know what, I want my next 25 years to be more fruitful than the last 25. I want to have kingdom impact. I want to have worldwide impact in my life. I don't want to waste 25 years. I don't want to see this film that they're filming right now. I don't want to watch this 25 years from now and go, nothing really happened the last 25 years. Because a lot has happened this past 25 years. A whole bunch has happened. But I want more. I hope you do too. I hope you're interested in seeing things happen for the kingdom of God, because that's what we're all about. And that's what the Rock Church is all about. That's what brought me to Utah, was for people. And tonight I just want to give us a little bit of a snapshot of where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going, and then kind of share with you as a church. We're going to do this at all services this weekend. Kind of some exciting things that God's doing and that we get to be a part of. All right, so it's going to be happening quick. So let's just do that here, okay? Let me show you a verse as we start. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this. That is awesome. She's taking a cell phone call. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm sorry. That just was, when I realized what happened, that was kind of funny. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We need to do that. I need to do that. And we are as a church. We need to acknowledge God. We can't trust ourselves. I don't know how many times I prayed that today. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help today. I can't lean on my own understanding. We can't as a church. And when we talk about direction, where we're headed, this is clearly true. Man, we're in a world of hurt. If we're relying on ourselves, our own intellect, we need to rely on God. We need to rely on God. And we do as a church. God's doing so much, we got to make sure we rely on Him. But God clearly is leading us. And that's what excites me to be able to share with you, and as a pastoral staff, to be able to share with you some of the things God's leading us in. I like this quote when we're going to talk about vision just in a second here. Vision is painting a picture of a preferred future, according to Andy Stanley. And I like that. Painting a picture of a preferred future. What should your future look like? What should our future as a church look like? What would God have it look like? That's vision. That's going, man, I think it should be this. And in my mind, I think all of Utah should be transformed into historic Christian faith. That's my preferred picture. Whether you believe it or not, I'm believing that. And that is not a slam on any other religion. That is just saying, God, I want everybody to have what I have. Because it's better. Grace is always better. It just is. That's what I want for this state. Because when that happens, the whole world will hear about Jesus. The Bible Jesus. Okay? That's what I think of as a preferred future. Other people have visions. Coca-Cola has a vision. This is their vision. It's their actual vision statement on their website to refresh the world. They're on world conquest. Their preferred picture is to have everybody holding a bottle of Coke. That's their preferred picture. My son has a preferred picture. My third oldest, Jonathan. Whenever you'd ask him years ago, he's 14 now, so I don't think this is true anymore. I hope not, but it used to be true. You say, Jonathan, what do you want to do with your life? What's your preferred picture of your future? What would you like to see happen? And he'd always say, I want to live at Walmart, or Walmart was the Aichi of where he wanted to live. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, it's got everything, right? Think of it. For a little kid, that was his preferred picture, just to be in the toy aisle or in the candy aisle or, over the PS2 playing the games. And that was his preferred picture. But I smile at that, but I know that God's got something bigger for him. And yeah, I hope so. And he's got something bigger. Nothing against Walmart. I'm just saying. I know God's got something bigger, and he's got something bigger for us. As a church, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. God has so much work for us to do. Do you guys realize that Utah, the number of evangelical Christians like us in Utah is less than 3% of the whole population? Did you know that? It's less than 3% in the state of Utah. So let's say we have a really good year among Christians this year. Let's say that every church in Utah doubles this year. Wow. Every church, our church doubles, and every church, Christian church in the valley doubles. That means that now we'll have a little over 5%. We got a little bit of work to do in Utah. It's a great place to be. I love being here. And God's given us a vision. As a church, here's our vision, and bless my heart by telling me that you know what it is, okay? If I give you the first two words, can you finish this for me? Our vision as a church is one life, and then finish it with me. Ready? One life. Let me hear. I got to hear it loud. One life at a time. One world in our lifetime. That's exactly right. That is our vision. And the fact that a lot of you knew that blesses my heart. Because most churches have a vision statement, it's on the wall, but that's where it remains. I want this to be in our heart. We are on world mission at the Rock Church. We are. If you join us, you got to understand something. We have a godly discontentment for where we're at. We want to reach the whole world. It's not enough just to reach people in Salt Lake or Utah or America. We want to reach the whole world with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our vision, and that drives. That's the what. That's what we want to do. The mission is how we do it. And again, we can have great statements that we put on a plaque, and it can do no good whatsoever. There are some really good mission statements out there. I'll show you one. But it can potentially have no positive impact on your corporation or whatever it is. I know this is small, but I'll read it to you. Here's a great example, a true mission statement of a company. See if you can guess. And if you know this, if you've heard this before, don't shout out the answer. But if you think you know, you can shout it out in a second here. This is a true mission statement. This company says it provides its customers quality office and information technology products, furniture, printing values, and expertise required for making informed buying decisions. We provide our products and services with a dedication to the highest degree of integrity and quality of customer satisfaction, developing long-term professional relationships with employees that develop pride, listen, creating a stable work environment and company spirit. Who is that? Is that IBM? Is that Apple? Is that FedEx, Kinko's, you know, great big corporate? No, that is not. You know that awesome mission statement where it comes from? It comes from, put it up here, guys, Dunder Mifflin. That is honestly, that's their mission statement. So vision statements and mission statements can be fine things to place on our wall, but we live by ours. Here's our, we're going to talk about The Rock's mission statement. I'll give you the first two words. Win the, and then you finish it with me, okay? Really loud, I got to hear you. What's our mission statement? Win the lost, build the believer, send sanctify. That's exactly right. This is what we're doing, okay? Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That's what God's called us to do. That's how we accomplish our vision, to win people to Christ. Simply sow the gospel and win them to Christ. Then we build them up. We teach them how to read their Bible. We teach them how to mature. We get them baptized. We give them a vision to reach out beyond themselves, and then we send them. There's a group right here that's getting ready to be sent to Romania. They have caught it. They are living the vision and the mission. So God bless you guys. You're doing it. And so many of you are doing it where you're at. That's our vision and our mission. And we need to start there because that gives us direction, doesn't it? This is what we're all about. And ultimately, it's all about people. It's all about people. So let's pray. And we're going to look at three reasons to be excited about 2013. I'm honestly not going to go that long, or as long as I usually go, I'll say that. And we're going to spend some time, we're going to mix it up just to throw you off kilter. We're going to do communion at the end. And then we're going to worship as an expression of what God has taught us, and really to thank him for all the good things that he's done. We're going to hear some cool things, what he's done and what he's going to do at The Rock. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for tonight. And we thank you, God, that you truly have called us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people, to win the lost. And there's so many lost people all around us. Thank you for putting us in Utah. Thank you that we get to build believers, that we get to teach the word of God, that we get to disciple people, that we get to help people obey you and repent of sin and build them up. And then we send them out because there's so much work to do, God. We want to be better at it. We thank you for all you've done this past year and all you're going to do in the future. Help us be excited about 2013. Help us be on board together as a church as we look at the state of the church and we say, okay, here's the plan, here's the vision, here's where I need to get on board. I pray that we'd all leave going, this is an exciting time for us, and I want to be involved in it. I pray that would happen now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's look at three reasons to be excited in 2013. Number one, and you have some blanks in your handout. You can pull those out. Number one, God has directed our past. God has done cool things in our past. So we can be excited about that. We can be excited about the future because we look at the past and go, wow. After I looked at that video of 25 years ago, I started contemplating all that God's done. And it just blows my mind. And I think, God, you did some pretty cool things then, but I'm heading this way. I'm excited about what he's got in the future because what he's done in the past, okay? And God has done amazing things in the past at The Rock, all right? So what I want to do, you know, like it says in Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done what?
Marvelous
things. And I can say that. I've been a part of this thing from the beginning. I can look back and see what God's done at The Rock and through people and how he's changed lives. And I can say that God has done marvelous things. But some of you are fairly new. You're new this year or you've been around a couple years maybe and you haven't heard the whole history. You don't know the whole story. I'm not going to give you the whole story, but I think it's good for us just to look back a little bit. So I thought it'd be fun. I save everything. I'm kind of like Paige Crosswhite. I save everything. And I've got slides from my 2001. That's a long time ago. State of the Church address that I did 2001. So, and then I build it up to where we're at now. So let me just show you by ways of pictures kind of where we've been as a church. All right, where we've been. So this is actually the slide, okay? Slide January 2001, our State of the Church. This is actually in May of 1999, so almost 14 years ago. This is in my driveway in Loveland, Colorado. People helping me move. All right, you see right here, I'm on this screen over here. Jeff Porter, upper left-hand corner, that's Jeff Porter. That's Paul's brother who's leading us in worship tonight. He's helping me. He's in the church here. He moved down to Salt Lake with us. There's a whole bunch of people, all these guys. Well, all of those guys moved out to Salt Lake to help start the church. They're helping Mac and I pack our vans because we came out in May. So we moved out in May of 1999, almost 14 years ago. It ended up just being the McEnroys and the Youngs that could come out right then. So we started a church with two families. Upper left-hand corner, that's our first church service. I preached to three adults, and we had a bunch of babies in the basement, all right? And that was how the rock started in my living room, right there on that couch, all right, with the McEnroys. And we started having unplugged services, and we started networking, and we started getting people. My living room started getting pretty packed out. We ate lots of food because all good things have food, okay? We had lots of food, and then we met this person in the bottom right-hand corner, Paige Crosswhite, and that changed everything for our church. She knows everybody in the state of Utah. She knows every Christian, and they were looking for a church, her and Kim and Suge, and they joined up with us, and God did that. So that was definitely God leading us to Paige Crosswhite. This was the whole team that moved from Colorado. Babies included, after 2000. We had 30 souls that came from Colorado. You can see on the right-hand side here, my thing's not working. Upper right-hand corner, those two little kids. Recognize the one on the left in the yellow shirt? Who is that? Kelsey McEnroy. That's right. Kelsey McEnroy, Steve's now a pastor down in our Provo campus. Just a couple of other things. We finally found a place to meet, the Alta Canyon Sports Center on Highland and 94th. By the fire station there. So we rented out the aerobics room, and it was great because they had mirrors all along. And so really every Sunday we doubled our attendance just with the mirrors. When I counted, it was like, no, I see a body. I'm going to count that bad boy. So we had 101. We had 101 people come to our grand opening after starting just a few months earlier in my living room. And God said, ready, go, and he shot the gun, and we were off. So we were at the Alta Canyon for quite a while. We had put up signs. We'd set up every Sunday. Started getting some cool people. Had our first all-church camp out. We did our first Just Do It, where we canceled church, went and served at a park down close to downtown. A lot of needy people, blessed them. We did that for a number of years. We got too big for this, and they finally kicked us out. They actually kicked us out. We filled up the rec room here, and this is just after a couple years. This is 2003 now. We're moving ahead, and God saw fit to move the cloud and said, it's time to go. So we did. We also started hiring some staff. I hired Paige and Suge as administrative assistants, and Steele started coming around. He was a rock star at this point. He'd touring with Sheryl Crow and playing before, you know, lots of the Counting Crows. I saw him in concert there, and he's on tours and whatnot, but when he'd come back, we'd meet, and I'd help kind of give him a little bit of direction. He shared some of that a couple weeks ago. So this is what's happening, and then Matt got recognized as our second full-time pastor. So God's growing us. So we got kicked out of Alta Canyon. We had to find a new place. This is where we meet now in Sandy. It looks a little better than this now. I know it's hard to see it, but that is trashed. That there was water running over the floors. It was completely flooded. All the ceiling tiles had fallen. There's junk everywhere, and we said, we'll take it. Oh, this is beautiful. Give this to us. And that's where we've been meeting for 11 years. I'll just give you a little heads up, though. We did get an eviction notice, and they told us we have to be out in July. So this whole idea of building a building, which I'm going to get to, it has just lit a fire under us, okay? Because we could have to be out of there in July. So we're going to have to move a church of 450, 500 people somewhere, and we're not sure where, but God's got it. So we're not sweating it, not too much anyway. So then we decided to plant a church down here in this building. So I'll never forget Paige saying, I think I found a building. I came down to that door over there. I met her, and we came inside. We were looking, and at that time, there was a wall across there. And the stage there was against right where the soundboard is, right there. That's where the stage was. So we were pointing this way. And Mac and I spent many, many weeks. Mac and I built most of that stage and everything else. Mac's electrician. I like doing wood stuff. So we spent a lot of time building the first stage for this auditorium, which is just half this room right here. It didn't have anything in the back there. And we had, this is what it looked like, and then we transformed it into this. And we had 251 people at the grand opening of this church plant in 2003, which was amazing. And continued on, then we hired two new pastors. Steele became a pastor, and Josh became a pastor. We recognized them in 2006. That was pretty exciting. Then we planted the church in 2007. Mac went down to Provo, and we joined up with some great saints that were already down there and took some people with us. We had 481 people at our grand opening at the Rock Provo Church, and that's going great guns now as well. God's blessing. So we have three locations, five services out of that little living room service almost 14 years ago. God's on the throne. And we had our 10-year anniversary party in 2009, which was a lot of fun. I think we had a big dinner. I think we had over 500, close to 600 people that came to that dinner. It was a lot of fun. This is just one side of the room. We had a whole other side. It was packed out with people. God is up to something huge in Utah. He really is, because we're not that smart and we're not that good. But there's a need out there. And God says, if you're willing, I will use you. I will use you. And that's what we've been. We've just been willing. So here's some highlights. I can't go over them all, but past 9 years, this is cool. In the past 9 years, we have names of 712 people that have accepted Christ in the past just 9 years that I was looking back. 712 names. That doesn't count the countless number of people that when we do gospel calls out and presentations and challenge people to accept Christ, the people that don't go back and give their names. I'm sure it's doubled that. What I'm saying is that most churches would love to see maybe 6 people to 10 people saved a year. We see 1.5 people saved every week for the last 9 years, every week, every year. 1.5 people every single week. God's doing a lot. We've baptized 556 people. Again, of the people that we have their names. All right, a lot more people have gotten baptized. There has been a lot that's happened in the last 9 years. Just last year alone, 63 salvations, 49 baptisms. Again, average of over 900 on the average. Giving last year from that little living room meeting, giving, general giving was $1.4 million at this church. And we gave a whole bunch of that away, as you'll see in a minute. I'll show you the slideshow. Just our Roots campaign, our capital campaign to buy property for our Sandy location. In the last 5 years, I guess it's been now, we've raised $1.62 million over and above our regular giving to purchase that land and catapult us into phase two, which is a building, which I'll get to. We had cool series, mission trips, Romania, Honduras, Europe, lots of cool things going on, families, marriages. I could tell you story after story of the changed lives. The changed lives, it just brings me to tears thinking about marriages that have been saved and families that have been healed. I could go on and on. We've got all kinds of things that have happened in the past. I'm just going to keep going here. God has been good to us. That's what I just want to end on this section. Amen. God has been good to us. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. And we're just scratching the surface. You can watch Steele's video. He nails it. He goes into a lot of detail about what God has done. I'm going to take us to our next section, which is this. First of all, we see that God has directed our past. God will bless our future. And he's doing amazing things at the Rock. I think of all the Simply So stories. Aren't those so good? Before all of our Acts messages, we're showing two testimonies of how you guys are simply sowing the gospel. And it's happening, and it's encouraging, and it blesses my heart. God is doing things right now at the Rock. He's doing it, and it's cool to watch, and I love to be a part of it. I love to be doing it with you. There's lots of salvations already this year. There are lots of small groups. There are lots of new leaders, and we are hungry for more. You know, I've been encouraged by you guys with the Simply Sowing, and I have kind of a funny story that happened the other day. I was at Smith's. And I can't remember what I was buying, but, I think I was buying something for Steven. He was sick, and I was getting some Gatorade or something. And I went through the self-checkout lane, and they weren't very busy, so there's a sweet older lady there that worked for Smith's, and she wanted to help me out. Even though it was self-serve, she wanted to help me, and it was obvious that she wanted to help me. So I wasn't going to serve myself. She was going to do it for me, and she was real sweet. And so she's taking my stuff and swiping it and even took my credit card, which is a little weird at a self-serve. But she did that, and I was just blessed by her. And I said, as I was getting my receipt, I took out an invite card, church card, and I said, Kathy, your name was Kathy. I said, Kathy, I just want to invite you to our church. I'm the pastor of the church right over here, because it's close. She can see our church from Smith's there. And she said, I never had anybody do this. She said, you look like a pastor. And I said, Kathy, that's interesting. No one's ever said that to me. No one ever has responded that way. Tell me, why do you think I look like a pastor? And she said, because you have nice eyes and you're very handsome. That's what she said. I said, all right, sounds good to me. And I said, Kathy, we have an awesome church that meets right here. I would just love to have you come. And she just was smiling so big and she was so happy. And it's just simply sowing. That's what we're about. It's about people. And you guys are doing it. You're encouraging me. We're doing it. So God is doing cool things. Make no mistake about it. Not only that, God will do amazing things at the Rock. There's no doubt about it. If you're going to be a part of this church, you're going to see cool things happen. You will. It says in Joshua 3:5, I love this. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, prepare yourselves, get ready. Set yourselves apart. Why? Because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That's a great promise. Get ready. God's going to do amazing things. And I can say that to you, because I believe it, that God's going to do amazing things over the next number of years. And this year. He's going to do cool things this year, okay? Whole bunch of upcoming events. I'm not going to cover them all, but we the basic stuff. But we're going to increase our outreach with The Rock Music, as Tony mentioned. We're giving music away. Community outreach events. We got Nick coming next week, and do not fail to participate with this Nick Vujicic event. This guy's an internationally known speaker, and the governor has invited him to come speak. Now he's not just speaking at a couple schools. He is being simulcast to every single school in Utah. Middle school and high schooler in Utah is going to hear his talk on teen suicide, which is very appropriate with a Clearfield tragedy that just happened. We had another suicide at Clearfield High just last week. He's going to talk on teen suicide and bullying. And then the governor has allowed him to invite people to his evening events, where he basically shares his testimony about how Jesus Christ has completely and radically changed his life, and Jesus is the only hope we have. That's what he's going to share in the evenings. Now, there's not enough seats for all of us. That's why we're going to videotape that, and we're going to show his Thursday night event in Utah. We're going to show it at every one of our services next weekend. So that's what you're going to see next weekend when you come. So bring your friends. It will blow them away. We have a number of people here today that got saved or have relatives that got saved at that 2008 event or 2009 event. All right. So let's see. I'm going to move right into our last section here. See, I told you this was going to go fast. All right. God is leading us. He's directed our past. He's going to bless our future, and he's leading us now. He is leading us now. We are just entering in this program called Roots, which was our capital faith-raising campaign. 2008, we started it. We started it the day before the recession hit, and I think we ushered in the recession is what happened. So we do a huge capital campaign, get all these pledges, and then the bottom of the economy fell out. Every time I hear somebody talk on the news, they always talk about 2008 when the recession hit, and I think that's right when we finished our capital campaign. And God still came through. So we've not only raised the 1.5 that you guys pledged, but we have 1.62 that's come in over the worst recession known to most people that are alive today. So God is doing amazing things. But this Roots program, it really allowed us just to get land. That's what we bought, a $1.4 million piece of property just across the street in Draper. Now, why would we do that? Well, our Sandy building, if you don't know this, we're in a month-to-month lease, and we have been for going on 11 years. Month-to-month, 30-day notice is all they have to give us. They have graciously given us more than that by saying, plan on being out in July because we're going to demo the building. That's what they've told us a couple weeks ago. Whether they do that or not, whether God says, yes, go ahead and do that or not, that's up to God. We're gonna make appropriate plans, but we have land. So God was good that we actually got land. Now we're pressing ahead quickly as possible, thinking we need to get a building on that land. And that's where we're headed here, okay? So our Roots program really is going deep for further reach. We believe that by having a home of our own in Utah, have our own building, a functional building in Utah, gives us stability, it gives us opportunity, and it gives us legitimacy. Make no mistake about it, in this culture, Remember how many evangelicals I said we have? Less than 3%. In this culture, the rest of the 97% kind of look at your building a little bit because they all have nice buildings. So we meet in a broken down old, you saw it. We fixed it up pretty good, but it's still pretty broken down. And to have our own place, and it's still a storefront, and it's still month to month, to have our own place gives us legitimacy in a lot of people's eyes, and that allow us to be more influential. No question about it, it'll give us more opportunities. And not only that, then we don't have to have this 30-day notice hanging over our head for the next 10 years, okay? We have our own place. We really believe before God, he's leading us in wisdom to get our own place. It only makes sense. Our 2020 vision is to have 20 services by the year 2020. That's a huge goal, but we have a huge God, and we're believing that this building will help us do that. So we have this campus, just again, if you're new with us, we have the downtown campus, we have the Sandy campus, which was the first one and the largest one right now, and then we have the Provo campus. We want to have a lot more campuses, but to have an anchor in Sandy, actually it'll just be over the border in Draper, but we'll have that building where we can grow, where we can have programs, leadership, we can have places to practice bands, we can have a recording studio, we can have whatever we want, our own building, I think is what God would have us do in Utah. And this isn't brain surgery, this happens all the time. The thing is that as churches grow, living things need resources. If we weren't growing, if things weren't happening, we wouldn't even have to do this. We could just kind of sit and soak and rot. But we don't want to do that. We believe God's moving us to press ahead, to take more ground, literally. So that's what the Roots program is all about. Roots 2.0 is what we're calling this capital campaign, this next season we're moving into, to get a building in Sandy, and you are going to be a part of it. We funded and started this church in 2005. The Sandy Church did all that. There was no downtown church at that point. We stepped out in faith and people gave to fix this place up and tear walls down and build stages so you guys could be here tonight. We have three locations. We are all going to work together to make this happen, and we will all be blessed by it. Trust me. You will be blessed by it. We will be blessed by it. And bet more than that, the people in Utah are going to be blessed by it. So that's where we're headed. So let me just share with you some cool things of progress. So I just have a couple more points, but I want to share this with you. Progress. We're moving ahead with the building. They're kicking us out. We can't just go, well, whatever, I guess. We're just being Eeyore about, oh, I guess that's just the way it is. No, we have land. We're going to press ahead with the building, and we need to raise money to do that. Let's not kid ourselves. That's just not going to happen by itself. But God is big enough to do that. So we're pressing ahead quickly. That's why we've kind of interrupted our series, and we're getting everybody on the same page because we need to move fast right now. God's, I think, moving the cloud. So let me show you kind of what we've got here. Just again, I want everybody to kind of go away going, I understand where we're headed as a church. This is the property we own. If you can kind of get coordinates here, the very top part of the picture, that's 114th South. They just built a new interchange on I-15 for our church. I'm so glad they did that. That was so good of you, Dot, to consider our church. So right over, well, to your left is the exit onto I-15. That's a beautiful thing. And then we have Harmon's is right there, so 114th. And then there's a brand new track station they just built just a block away, a new hub there, which is awesome. So we own this plot of land, and the building will be right in the corner of that land. That's how it's going to be. 7th East was just redone, so we appreciate Draper City redoing that whole 7th East right there. It's going to be the gateway to Draper is what they're calling it. They're redoing that whole thing. It's a beautiful thing. How God's just working for us. So we own that land. It's all paid for. We don't owe any money on that anymore. It's all paid for, completely paid for last summer. Yeah, it's all paid for. So, question is the fire moving? Is the cloud moving? Is God saying go? I think it is. You know, maybe a year ago I would have said, I don't know. But now I think the fact that we may have get kicked out and that the way things are lining up and even the financial year we had last year, God blessed us incredibly. I think God's moving us, and he's moving us quick. So our Roots 2.0 campaign will officially start tonight. We really won't do a lot with it until April. We'll have a series. We'll talk more about it, but we want to get you on the same page as soon as possible. Roots 2.0. And let me just show you what kind of the plan is here. We've got some pictures. This is a conceptual drawing of the building that we want to build. All right, and just let me explain it to you real quick. This has about 31,000 square feet. We have Right now, we're meeting in 12,000 square feet. So this is 2.5 times what we're meeting in Sandy right now. And it's a pretty good size building in Sandy where we meet. So here's the deal. This whole project, if we did the whole enchilada, everything right here, ready to move in, it'd be about $4.9 million, which is, believe it or not, a modest building. That is not opulent. I made sure that all along the way, talking to the architects, engineers, our fundraising director, when they look at this, I said, do you feel like this is opulent or is this a fairly modest building? It's a modest building. It's going to be nice looking, but it's modest, okay? We're not going over the top here. We don't want to go over the top. We don't even want it to look churchy. We just want it to look cool, all right? So can we keep that up there for a second because I want to talk about that. So this is the floor plan. The whole thing would cost $4.9 million. That made me lose a little bit of sleep because I think, I don't know, on our budget, can we do that? So the idea I think God gave me, long story short, is this, to do a two-phase approach. I think we bite it off in two phases. And so what we did from the original plan, we stretched this part out a little bit, made this multi-purpose room a little bigger. And I think that we can do this, we can move into this. This is 20% bigger than the space we meet in right now in Sandy. Just the second half, the phase one over here to the right, that is 20% bigger than what we meet in right now. So we could live there fine for a number of years. And then when we're ready, we can build phase two. So it cuts the project into a $2.9 and a $2 million project. So one, 2.9, the phase one. And then later we can do the 2.0 once we moved in. Not only that, it allows us to move in faster, doesn't it? Because they're not building as big a building. Guess which side's easier to build? The huge lobby with a great big auditorium or just the box over here? The box. Okay, I'll just let you know. The box is easier. So we redesigned the back end here, phase one, to make it palatable to be able to move in right away where we're at and kind of hunker down and grow and then in a couple of years be able and pay it off and be debt-free on a $1.5 million piece of property and a $2.9 million piece of building and have all that paid off and then go, let's build phase two later. I love it. That's what we're planning on doing. It's 25% bigger, like I mentioned, than what we're meeting in now. It's going to make us hungry. There's so many good things I like about that. This is what it'll look like. As far as financing, again, $2.9 million. We are told, again, this is family time, so if you don't like the number, just hang in there. I'm almost done. But for those that are part of the body, they need to know this. You need to know this. You need to lock into this because we're doing this together, and you're going to be a huge part of it. The financing, we're told with, again, we hire people to help us with the fundraising. We did that with the land. We're doing it now. They say we could raise between $2 and $2.5 million over a three-year campaign. All right, that's what we did last time was a three-year campaign. So that's what they're estimating. This is what they do for a living. With our finances, they look over our finances. They say, this is what we estimate. That's not bad on a $2.9 million property building to raise $2 to $2.5 million. We have people in our church that have houses that are more than the $900,000 difference, all right? They take out loans more than that individually. So I can sleep, even if we had to take a construction loan out to finish it off, if we don't raise enough up front, we could afford that, is what I'm saying. So to make it a smaller project to me is just a beautiful thing. And we need to get a construction loan. Architects are ready to go. We could start digging this summer. We could be done next spring. We could be in a new building next spring at the Sandy location. Now, you guys are thinking, is that us? No, that's not. You guys are right here, okay? You can come visit and use our building all you want. We're one church in three locations. This is to help the Sandy church at this point, all right? This is what it would look like. This is phase one. On that property, not too shabby, especially compared to where we're at. Brand new. It would be, people are asking us about it. We have a sign on the property right now. It would be a wonderful thing. So that's phase one. Keep your eye on it because I'm going to trick you here. There's phase two. Yeah, so we would add that later. That's a 600-seat auditorium. What I think is cool is with a 320-seat auditorium and a 600-seat auditorium, if we squeeze people in, if we use overflow and we use simulcast in our building, we could hold 1,000 people to watch something. That'd be one of the largest auditoriums in the state for any religious, well, except for the LDS church has 20,000, but we got 1,000, all right? I thought about that because we could use that multi-purpose room for an overflow if we had a big event. This is a different view looking. This is now looking southwest for coming from 114th down 7th. That's what you'd see. Phase one, this would be with phase two. And what you see there, if you see that kind of angled part, that is a playland, play place like McDonald's that will have all glass, and people will be able to see that as they drive down 7th, because we've been told by a whole bunch of people you want to do that. You won't believe the number of people from your community that will come and rent it for birthday parties and just want to come in. Their kids will be sucked into it. They'll see it, and we'll get so many people to come visit. And it actually is a money, it's actually a way to generate revenue to help pay for the building, because birthday parties will be, it'll be constant. And so we're going to put one of those in. Just a couple other views. This is from the back parking lot. Again, we're looking now northeast, okay? And that's with phase two. That's what it'll look like with phase two. So, we have, oh, then this is what the lobby will look like, phase two, when it's done. Yeah. And so this is what phase one will look like. That's what we're shooting for the $2.9 million. That could be done as early as next spring, and that's what we're shooting for right now. So, that is exciting. The plans are, just so we know, this is my last point, plans are we're going to have some meetings in March. We want everybody to attend one of these meetings, and I mean everybody. We're going to have refreshments. It'll be fun. There's going to be a meeting in Provo March 19th. This is 2 weeks away. Salt Lake City here on the 20th. That's a Wednesday, so that'll be take place of your small groups that night, and the 21st in Sandy that Thursday, where we will let you know all about what's happening and how you can be involved even more directly. We're having a prayer event on the land, because a lot of you, I know, before you tell me, many of you are going to come to me and say, hey, why don't we just put up a tent? I've heard that idea, and I've thought of that idea, and Draper, it's good with me, but Draper City, not so much, okay, just so you know, all right? I'd love to put up just a tent and just do that for a while. Prayer event, April 14th. Again, we want you guys to be a part of this. We're going to pray on the land. We'll mark out the boundaries of where the building is going to be in the different rooms, and we'll pray in those rooms. The stewardship series starts in April. Capital campaign results. This is going to be done. This whole campaign will be done May 3rd. We'll have the results. We'll know what you guys have pledged, what we've all pledged, how much money we're going to raise for this building, and to be able to change more lives in Utah. It's going to happen quick. Hopefully, we'll get a construction loan right away. Architectural drawings be done in August. And again, maybe dirt is flying by September, October. They told us 6 to 8 months they could build that thing. That's what they told us. So that's where we're at as far as the building. I think God can do it. I think he wants to do it. Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Are they good plans? Yes, they are. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God, I just thank you. Thank you so much that you are doing amazing things at the Rock. You have directed us in our past. You have blessed our present, and you'll bless our future. I just thank you for the fact that things that are living require resources, that you brought us to this point. Lord, I thank you that all the resources we need to move ahead in your plan, you've already got that figured out. They're sitting here. These are the resources. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you that you have amazing things for us to look forward to in the coming years. And I pray, God, that you would help all of us be excited about what Jesus Christ is doing in Utah and through the Rock Ministry. For it's in your name we pray.